Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Well, we start a new section and a new chapter this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 is our section we're taking today. Our focus will be on the first commandment that Paul gave to the believers in Thessalonica after his presentation in the first two chapters. The first commandment in verses 1 through 5, we'll be focusing on verses 1 and 2 this morning. In chapter 1, Paul gave them comfort concerning trials and hardships from 1 Thessalonians, Paul's first letter to the Christians in Thessalonica. We know that from the very first day that they received Christ, that they were persecuted, and they suffered for it from that first day, and it was continuous. No break at all. They were persecuted right away. And in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, Paul presented that for them to be in trials and to be suffering for their faith is normal. Second, then in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, he discussed and presented to us the correction concerning the day of the Lord or the tribulation period, which in the Bible is that seven-year period of judgment that comes after the taking up of the church. Judgment comes upon the earth. It's called the day of the Lord, or the tribulation period as we know it. Biblically, it's called the day of the Lord. That comes for 7 years. And then the second coming of Christ. And we come back with him on the earth when he sets up his kingdom. So he presented the correction concerning the day of the Lord or the tribulation period in chapter 2 of this letter, that there must be an apostasy, a falling away from the faith first, and that the man of sin must be revealed before God unleashes his judgment from heaven. And he says, those things have not happened yet. You are not in the tribulation period. Remember, false teachers had come in and told them that the reason they're experiencing persecution and hardship because of their faith in Christ is because God's judging them. And Paul says, God is not judging you. In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, Paul presented that the church must leave before the day of the Lord, that we are going to be caught up. The Latin word raptus, to be raptured and taken up by force for a meeting of the Lord in the clouds, and that this will happen, and then the day of the Lord will come. And then he went into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and presented that the day of the Lord, or the tribulation period, is coming then in time sequence to the rapture in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, Paul says, that God has not appointed us to wrath or judgment, but for salvation. So we are going to be removed before the judgment comes. And so the second letter was to remind them of that, to comfort them concerning the tribulations and hardships, to correct the situation concerning the teaching about the tribulation period or day of the Lord. But now as we begin chapter 3, the final chapter of the book, as we've entitled this chapter, The Instructions Concerning Their Testimony, Paul's now going to give them commandments as to how they are to conduct themselves while they're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Now today we're going to take the first commandment in this chapter, and it's found in within the first few words of the chapter, verse 1. He starts out chapter 3 by saying, "The rest, brothers." The word rest in Greek literally means the remaining things. It is translated summary or finally, as these are the closing remarks, just the final, bring it together and ready to sign off. And here are my last words to you from Paul. The rest, brothers, be praying concerning us. The word pray is the command for the first five verses. This is the first command that he's going to discuss in this chapter that they are going to be doing while they're waiting for the Lord to come. Be praying concerning us. The word pray is in the present tense, which shows continuous action. Continually pray concerning us. And then he tells why. There are two purposes that he presents to us in verses 1 and 2 about this final command on prayer. So prayer is the first command. And there are two purposes that he shows for praying. It's represented by the word or words for one Greek word, in order that. In the English translations, it just says that. That's in order to save space. But in the Greek text, it's a purpose clause. Be praying in order that the word of the Lord might run and might be glorified, according as also with you. So the first purpose for prayer is that the word of the Lord might run. That's the literal translation. The word run in Greek is the word trecho. We get our English word track from it, the racetrack, the track that the runners run on. And so he's picturing here a track. And he says, pray that the word of the Lord is going to have free run on that track. No obstacles, no hurdles, and that it's going to run unhindered. Be praying for the running of the word of God. It wasn't to pray for him in the sense that to save his own skin, make sure everything goes well, that we're going to be happy and satisfied in a nice life. He never prayed for himself in a fleshly or human sense. He always asked the believers to join together with him to pray for the effectiveness of the Word of God. So he says, be praying. Continually pray concerning us in order that the word of the Lord might run. That is the word trecho. so it can have free reign without hindrance. And secondly, just within this first purpose clause, and the word of the Lord might be glorified. This is an interesting word that is continually used amongst religious people and Christians. And it's interesting that we can, I think it's important that we know exactly what it means. To give glory to God, what does that mean? Well, the word glory in Greek is doxa, and it comes from the Hebrew word kavod, which is translated, both words are translated glory. But kavod, in its basic root form, means weightiness. Something that is heavy has value to it. It has glory in those days. The heavier the item, the more expensive it costs. And so they would call it kavod, weightiness. And so glory was attributed then to substance. The value of the substance was called kavod. And I think that's interesting. If we understand it in the context of the language of the scriptures, we understand, if we understand it's the substance, it's the value of the substance. For God to be glorified is for people to see his substance and the value of his substance. Now, that's interesting because a lot of times it's used in our day for credit. If I do something good in the human realm and I say give glory to God, I'm saying give him credit. Well, that's not what glory means. Glory means substance. So here when it says, and the word of the Lord might be glorified, he's saying that the Lord himself in his substance might be seen in the word. And when people hear the word, they'd have Christ and his very substance ministered to them. The Lord is what Paul is saying that we should pray for. We should pray that the word of God should go out in an unhindered way. And secondly, when the word of the Lord is given, that the Lord might be glorified in his word. That people will see the Lord, that people will come to know the Lord. So people won't come to somebody's revelation about what the scripture says, but they will see Christ, the clear run, and that the Lord might be glorified in his word is what Paul is saying they should pray for. And then he says, at the end of verse 1, according as also with you, that is, as he says, according as the word of the Lord came to you unhindered. So just like the word of the Lord came to you and ran free course amongst you, and you saw Christ, and you were convicted to come to Christ, and he drew you to himself. This is the example he's giving them. Pray that what happened to you will happen with us wherever we go to give the word. There are two things about God's word that Paul was concerned about. Number one, the word of the Lord going out from him. And then, and the word of the Lord coming in to the people listening. So the word of the Lord goes out from us, and the word of the Lord comes into us. Two things are happening when the word is given. It's being given by somebody, and it's being received by somebody. Satan does not want the word of the Lord to go out. And secondly, he does not want anybody to hear the word of the Lord. And there's a reason for this. because of God's chosen way of ministering to his people. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'll see faith throughout this chapter. We know from the past, as I've given it to you, but we'll remind you again, that faith, the word faith, pistis, means persuasion. So faith comes, the persuasion of the Lord comes to a person's life in the hearing of the word. Romans 10, 17. So it is God's chosen way that when God's people gather together around his word, and that the Lord reveals himself through his word, and he ministers his word to people's hearts, that faith moves in the hearts of God's people when they hear the word of God. Both going out and receiving. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we gather together around his word. And God's Spirit takes the information about the Lord. God's information about the Lord is information of God's Spirit, and he takes it and ministers to people's hearts. As Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it is for the renewing of the mind. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, it is for the renewing of the spirit of the mind. And so, slowly there is a change and transformation that takes place at the hearing of God's word. Now, God has appointed it to be that way. Satan is going to throw obstacles in our way so that we either will not or cannot go to hear the word of God. And he's going to throw obstacles in our way so that we cannot represent the word and give the word and share the word. He does not want the word of God to go out. As you can tell, and as you and I and we all experience on Sunday mornings, Satan makes it very difficult, puts obstacles in our way to go and hear the word. It's not a matter of going to church. It's a matter of worship and prayer and fellowship together. But it's the hearing of the word, as we'll see in a moment. We're being exercised by God's Spirit ministering his word. Now here's something to take note of. Now, once we are saved, once we belong to Christ, Satan cannot have our soul. Once you surrendered your life to Christ, Satan cannot take your soul. You belong to Christ. The only thing he has left to do is to stop us from growing spiritually. Now, many people have come to me over the years and said that they believe that the Christian growth is automatic. I received the Lord 10 years ago, therefore I'm a 10-year-old Christian, at least. So they say it doesn't make any difference what they do. I'm going to grow in Christ whether I go hear the word or I don't. They say it doesn't make any difference if you hear the word or not, that a Christian grows automatically. Well, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, says just the opposite. It says that if you do not spend time and continually experience the ministry and the hearing of God's word, that you can become dull of hearing. That is, dull of hearing the Spirit and dull of understanding spiritual things. You can go back to being babes. You can know the Lord for 10 years and still be a babe in Christ. There is not automatic growth. Growth comes by hearing the Word of God. Again, according to Hebrews chapter 5. Now, Hebrews chapter 5 uses athletic terms to describe the believer's interaction with the Word and the believer's growth. He says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. In verse 13, he says, everyone who partakes of the milk of the Word, that is the simplicities of it, is unskilled, literally inexperienced, in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Babies drink milk. Babies can't handle solid food. But solid food belongs to those who are mature. That is, who by reason of having their senses exercised, that's the word gymnazo, where we get our word gymnasium from, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, right and wrong, is literally how it's literally translated. And so what he's saying in Hebrews chapter 5, when you go hear the word, your senses are being exercised, sharpened, so that over a period of time, you're able to discern and be sensitive to what's right and what's wrong to the Lord. But if you leave off from hearing the Word of God, he says, then you can become dull of hearing. It's like working out physically for athletics. If you go out and run out on the track, if I went out to run out in the track down at the school, if I were to try to run a mile my first time out, I'd probably collapse. You'd probably see me lying out there in the field someplace where I collapsed. I'm not in that kind of shape anymore. I'd have to start out small and then work my way up to where I can run long distances. But if I ever stopped working out, if I ever stopped running, I'd lose that capacity. I'd lose that ability. You don't lose Christ spiritually, but we lose the sensitivity. He's right there with us. That's the frustrating thing. He's right there with us, but there are times that we can't sense him there. We're not aware of him. We're not aware of his promises for us because we're so caught up in the human and in the flesh. And so, growth, spiritual growth, there's no automatic growth. It comes by hearing the Word of God. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it said, blessed are those who read and hear the words of the prophecy of this book. It has a promise to those, a blessing upon those who read and hear the words of the prophecy of this book. And the Greek word for to read is not private reading. It is public reading. Public reading of the word. A person is blessed at the public reading of the word and of hearing the word. It is public reading. It is people who get up and read the words of the book so that God's people can hear the word of God. It is to be read. It is to be studied. It is to be ministered to the people because it is God's chosen way, that His Spirit takes the word and the unsaved are convicted of their need of Christ, and the saved grow through the hearing of God's word. It is interesting, the importance of God's word, especially in the early church, as recorded back in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, you remember the early church, the Hellenists, that is the Greek-speaking Jews, were in a certain section of Jerusalem. And they came to the apostles and they said, "Look, our widows are being overlooked in the distribution of bread." And so they said, "We will choose out from among you seven men who have a reputation of being full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint over these matters." And they were all Hellenists that were chosen. They were Greek-speaking Jews. All of their names were Greek, but they were Jewish people. So from out of the Hellenistic community, they were to pick seven men that were going to represent the community and come and just distribute the bread in that particular community. And the apostles got up and they said, "This is necessary because it is not right for us to leave prayer and the ministry of God's word to serve tables." So they're not saying this is beneath us to be servers of food to the Hellenistic community. They're not saying it's beneath us. They're saying it'll take us away from that which is the most important thing for believers to be in, for prayer and the ministry of God's word. And when they appointed these seven men, and these seven men took up the task of the distribution of the food to the Hellenistic women, Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says that the word of God spread and the disciples multiplied. So when priorities were in place, that's what happens. There's growth. People come to know Christ. People grow in Christ. The word back then in Acts chapter 6 spread because those who were giving the word were given free access to pray and to give the word, and that was not hindered at all. Because once the word is not hindered, God's word begins to spread and go out. That's what God uses. Now if the word is hindered, then we can pray and see what God wants us to do. Because the hearing of God's word and the ministry of God's word and the proclamation and teaching of God's word is exactly what He wants. That's God's top priority for all people, unsaved and saved. So Paul says in summary, be praying, be continually praying concerning us in order that the word of the Lord might run, that is unhindered. We are running with God's word. Just pray that the word of the Lord might not be hindered and we will have a free run on the track, that it might be glorified, that is God's word, according as also with you. And then verse 2. Verse 2 says, the second thing, because it is the second phrase, in order that. In order that in verse 1 shows the first purpose for prayer. Verse 2 says, in order that, showing the second purpose for God's prayer. And in order that we might be delivered from the perverse and evil men, for the faith is not of all people. That's literally how it reads. The faith is not of all people. Remember, we said just a few moments ago about the word faith. It means persuasion. The persuasion of God's Spirit is not with everybody. Not everybody's under the persuasion of God. Not everybody's under the persuasion of God's Spirit through His Word. So it depends on what everybody is persuaded by. So it literally reads, the faith is not of all people, which means all are not of the faith. Not everybody has the faith. Notice, he didn't use the word Christian. He didn't use the word believe. He used the word faith. So Paul says, when we go out and minister the word of the Lord, not everyone is of the faith. Not everybody's of the persuasion. That was one thing they noticed in the book of Acts, that the Christians were of the faith. That is, they were under the Lord's persuasion. They were under a different persuasion than everybody else. And they noticed that. That is the ministry of God's Spirit. Now, the Greek word for perverse, when it says that we might be delivered from the perverse and evil men. The word perverse literally means out of place. These are people that are not in place, and they are all evil men. There's one definite article in the Greek text. It's translated for you in our translation. The perverse and evil men. They are both perverse, out of place, and evil. These are people that are not in place, and they're evil men. And in the Greek text, the definite article is there for both perverse and for evil. One article for both. He's talking about people who twist the scriptures. They take everything out of place, out of context, and they twist it. They are twisted people, and they are perverse people. They twist everything. The word for evil in our text, the perverse and evil people, the word evil is poneros. Some English texts or translations have the word wicked, but poneros is the word for the devil. He's the evil one. They are not interested in the Lord being glorified in His word. They have another agenda. It must be the Spirit of God that delivers us from these kinds of people. In conclusions, and so it is interesting again, reviewing verses 1 and 2, that there are two purposes for prayer. Pray concerning us, first of all, in order that the word of the Lord might run unhindered and might be glorified. That is the substance of Christ seen through the word, according as also with you. And then secondly, in order that we might be delivered from the perverse and evil men, for the faith is not of all people. And so says we're going to encounter opposition. Satan is going to bring opposition against the word. Notice what Paul is concerned about. When he says pray in order that we might be delivered, he's not thinking of it from a personal standpoint. It is an attack against God's word. Satan does not want God's word to go out. And he does not want people to go and hear God's word. Paul says, we come up against the opposition of those people who are energized by Satan, who are evil people. They are twisted. They twist things. You can't even reason with them. You can't even reason with them, and you come up, they come up against us, and we need the Spirit of God to deliver us. We do not have the spiritual ability to deliver ourselves. It must be the Lord. So Paul says, so Paul was only concerned about the word of the Lord. He was not concerned about what happened to him. Only that God's word would have free reign and they would be delivered from those people who would bring opposition to his word. So we see in Paul's writings and Paul's teachings, and we will see as we progress through this chapter, that he's going to say that his teachings are the tradition for the church. Paul is emphasizing for us in all of his writings of how important the Word of God is. It's God's chosen way to reach people for Christ, both the unsaved, the truth from God's Word, as well as for the believers. Believers are experiencing spiritual growth by the continual hearing of the Word of God, which exercises their human senses to be able to discern both right and wrong in the eyes of the Lord. To leave off from that is to become dull of hearing, not able to hear the Spirit, not able to hear the Word. It becomes like a need for milk all over again, which is what the writer of Hebrews said back in Hebrews chapter 5. You almost have to start over. There are many people today, many Christians, that surrendered their life to Christ 20, 30, 40 years ago, who are still babes in Christ because they've never been exercised by God's Spirit through the Word on a consistent, continual basis. I can remember when I first received Christ over in Puerto Rico. When he first saved me, I began to study the Word of God for myself. I remember I got a commentary and studied the Gospel of John. It was the first thing that I did. And as I would share with people on just in the natural way of talking about the Lord with people, other Christians asked me if I would start a Bible study. One guy said he's known the Lord for 20 years. He's never understood or heard the things that I was talking about. And I had only known the Lord for 6 months. But that's how people are. People are malnourished. They're insensitive to the Spirit and to spiritual things because they have not been exercised. Well, we will continue with this and finish out this section, Lord willing, next week. Let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness that draws us, that ministers to us, that helps us because we cannot help ourselves. We pray that you would awaken in us the clear picture and teaching of Paul and the importance of the Word of God, of making sure the Word of God runs unhindered so that people can hear the Word, and pray for our listening and receiving of the Word, that you would open our hearts and give us a love for the truth, that we might make that our top priority. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.